Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Luke chapter 22, verse 14 begins, "And when the hour came, Jesus reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On May the 6th, that was the last time we were all together. And we were very intentional about gathering around the table. The last time that I had the opportunity to enjoy the Lord's Supper was on July the 1st. On July the 1st, I was at Temple Baptist Church in Gainesville, Texas. That's where Allison's mom and dad are members. And on that morning, their pastor led the congregation in the Lord's Supper. And I remember sitting there preparing my heart for the table, preparing my heart for the bread, preparing my heart for the cup, thinking about the people I was sitting with. It was the first time in our 15 plus years of marriage that I had ever had the opportunity to worship at my father and mother-in-law's church. And so it was a great, great day. And I thought about the theme that I had written and proposed to our elders and other leadership for the clergy renewal leave, growing strong families. And I thought, this is a part of what that is. And I thought about a translation of what we had talked about when we had taken the Lord's Supper in previous days. And it said like this, from the Message, Jesus said, "You have no idea how much I have looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you." And I thought about that on July the 1st. And I thought, most likely the next time that we'll have an opportunity to be at a table for the Lord's Supper will be when we're back home. And you have no idea how much we have looked forward to sharing this meal with you. Our family got to participate in the Lord's Supper two times during the clergy renewal leave. one I just mentioned with Allison's family. A few weeks prior to that, we were at the beach where my family has vacationed since I was 1 year old. I've never missed a summer going to the Gulf Stream. And that's been a very significant place for our family. Places are significant in Scripture. Places are significant in our lives. And the place that we were at the Gulf Stream, down at North Padre, has very rich and significant meaning to our family. I have baptized family members there. We have spread ashes of family members there. We have built great sandcastles there. We have been stung by jellyfish there. We have caught great fish there. We have had long walks and long talks there. We've had fun at this place, and we knew that this particular time we would all be together. We weren't last year because two in our family were great with child, and they were not able to be there and travel. And so they were able to be there this time, and we were going to do two parent-child dedications on the beach. And man, I'll have to bring my hat that I wear down there. I mean, I could put it on and give you shade right where you sit. It is huge, and it is great, and we're just there, and we're all down there at the beach, and we have this great prayer time. And then my grandmother said, as we were preparing for this, "I want us to take communion on the beach." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, because whatever Grandmother Ford says, that's what we're going to do. That's the end of the discussion." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And so we were there and we took communion, and then it was a rich time, a meaningful time. I mean, a deeply meaningful time. And then my grandmother gave devotionals to all of her great-grandchildren and wrote just beautiful words of encouragement and blessing and legacy. And so when I think about part of what we have experienced on this clergy renewal, those two times around those two tables are very, very meaningful. And so this morning, as we have already begun to prepare our hearts to take the bread and to take the cup, I want to do something that I've never done in all of my years of ministry. I want to invite my family to come and to help lead this morning. And as they come, I would like for our deacons to come and to begin to prepare to pass out the bread, and then we'll pass out the cup in a few moments. And think about that theme, growing strong families. If you're here this morning, you're a part of what God's wanting to do in this family today. You're not here by accident. And men, you can go ahead and begin to get the bread ready even as I continue to talk. You're here on purpose, with a purpose. God has you in mind not to be an orphan, not to be in isolation, not to be out there on your own, not to be abandoned, but to be a part, to grow strong in the family of God. And we're at different places in that, and I realize that we're at different places in our journey with what God's doing, but right now He wants you to be present in this place. Who can take the bread and who can take the cup? Any person who has put his or her faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, for forgiveness of sin, and have called on His name and His name alone for salvation. If you've done that, you're in. If you haven't done that yet, and you're still thinking about that, I would encourage you just to observe, just to see what's unfolding, and know that you're among friends, and you're welcome here, and God is working in your life, and I would love nothing more than to help you work out what God's working into you. But right now, would you just enter in to this special, special time? I don't know where you've been. I have no idea what's going on in your life since we last talked 4 months ago. I have no idea what God's been doing in the church. When the elders told me to unplug, I unplugged. I'm sure I've got a bazillion emails and voicemails, and you know what? We'll get to that. But let me read again. You have no idea how much I have looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you. Let me pray. And then the worship team's just going to lead us in a time of song and reflection. And you begin to prepare your heart for this meal because you were intended to be a part of this time. Lord, we love you. I thank you so much for this incredible time that our family has enjoyed. Thank you. And we will say that again and again. Thank you for the extravagant blessing that our family has received. And for those beautiful moments of being around the table with my family at the beach and with our family at Allison's parents' church. And Lord, now again, as we're back home here at Arapahoe Road, Lord, as we gather around the table, we want to think about you. And we want to think about the bread that represents your broken body. And we'll think about the cup that represents your shed blood that was poured out and a new covenant was made so that we who've been far away because of sin might come back home and be family. And so during these moments, Lord, would you stir our hearts, speak to our hearts, give us a centered, grounded remembrance of who you are and who we are as followers of yours. Thank you for these special moments. And Lord, as the bread is passed out, let us think deeply about your brokenness so that we might be made whole. In your name we pray. Amen. Man, it's good to be back home. And it's good to remember what Jesus did as he took and he broke the bread and he gave the bread to those whom he loved so much. And he said, take and eat. And when you do it in remembrance of me. I love the simplicity of Jesus. How he takes something as simple as a piece of bread and he makes sure that family understands how in the simplicity of that object there's such a rich depth that all the days of our life on this earth and throughout eternity, we will continue to understand more and more and more as we are faithful to walk step by step by step. He's never in a hurry. He wants to make sure you get it, which is why he can take a piece of bread and it mean so very much to him. And he can take a common cup and make it mean so much. So, men, would you begin to prepare to distribute the cup? And as we take the cup and as the cup is passed to you, just take a moment. You realize August is an incredibly expensive, hot and crazy month? Or is it just our family? No. Yeah, it is amazing how hot, expensive, and crazy August can be. And you know what gift the Lord has for you right now, in this place, in this moment? Free. Calm, unhurried. You may not have these moments of calm, quiet, reflection, family, the rest of this week, but you have an opportunity right now. I have this opportunity right now. And so I want to pray and I want to invite you again, be at the table in this moment. God wants to say something to you and remind you of how deeply He loves you in these moments. Don't miss it. You don't have to say a thing to Him. Let Him say some things to you. Lord, thank you for these moments. Thank you for the cup and what it reminds us of and represents. Your blood that was poured out at the cross to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to remove all of our shame and guilt and everything we ever did that removed us from your presence, Lord. This brings us back to the table. Would you speak to us as our family gathers at your table? Let our heart, mind, and soul, and body be present in these sacred and precious moments. Let us hold the cup and remember deeply how much you love us. In your name we pray. Amen. While we were away, we really had some great meals together. We really enjoyed great conversation around our tables, wherever that might have been. And we're really grateful for that. And over and over and over again, we told the Lord in prayer how grateful we were for the extravagant blessing that you have allowed our family to have. And it is a privilege and it is a joy to be back around this table and to share this meal with you. And when we get around the table with our family, we do a lot of toasting. We do a lot of cheers because it's a happy time. This is a happy time. This is a time where as family we say, you know what? Something significant is happening. And something significant together is happening. And I look forward, and Allison looks forward, and Jack and Lucy look forward to sharing that with you in the coming days. We'll share a little bit in just a moment and then more this afternoon. But right now, I just want to say thank you. And thank you, Lord. You have restored the joy of my salvation. And on that day, He took the cup and He said, take and drink and do this in remembrance of me. That's what we do, Lord. The scripture says that after the supper, they sang a hymn. I want to invite you to stand where you're at if you're able. Men, thank you for leading us in that service this morning. And Dan, would you and the worship team lead all of us in a song, and then Allison and I will come back and share just a few perspectives. We'll pray together and then we'll be dismissed in just a moment. Let's sing. Thanks. You can be seated. Again, if we can just say it in two words, thank you. And if we can say those two words over and over again, thank you, thank you, thank you, it would never be enough. I had an opportunity this week to have a good conversation with Dr. Bob Dean, and I said, well, everything okay? He said, man, your church is awesome. He said, I am in so many churches, week in and week out, but Ellen and I just loved the people of Arapaho Road Baptist Church. He said, there is a spirit in that place that is healthy. There are a people in that place who love one another, who love Jesus and who are ready to do something great for God. He said, I loved coming here. Ellen loved coming here. And he said, and David, you have one of the best staffs I have been around. They are a great staff, an incredibly hardworking staff. He said, man, God's going to do something great as you walk together into the future. And I said, Bob, I am so glad to hear that. And we're so glad to return and to be a part of whatever the next steps look like. It's going to take some time to unpack the things that the Lord has allowed us to experience, me to experience. I'll share a little bit this morning, a little bit more this afternoon, and then particularly over the next 4 or 5 weeks, there's some things that just are out of the overflow that I want to share. Before I share any more, and we'll be done at noon, I want Allison just to have an opportunity to say thank you and just share a little bit from her perspective what this time was like, because I know everybody may not be able to come back at 2:30, and I wanted you to hear something from her this morning and something from me before we pray and are dismissed in just a second. Babe.
Well, God just gave me the phrase, the extravagant blessing, right at the beginning of this whole thing. That's just how it felt to me. It was just an extravagant blessing. And for me, it was really, it was two parts, both centered on family. And I was reminded of that this morning. Jack is in the 7th grade now, and Lucy's in the 6th, and he walked into the youth group this morning, and I thought, wow, like, we're there. And Dave and I feel the weight of, we have 6 and 7 more years to get everything done before they're gone. And you know as well as I do that the days are long, but the years are short. It goes by so fast. It was yesterday that Lucy was 3 years old and learning to sit in big church. And I only had to take her out and spank her once. And that was yesterday. And now she's in the 6th grade and he's in junior high. And so for us, that weight, that ticking clock is it. We feel that. And so, kids are going back to college and this weekend, and I see that all over Facebook, and I think that's going to be tomorrow. And so for us this summer, you know, God has blessed our family. One of the ways he's blessed us the most is we really like one another. We really, really enjoy one another. I don't think all families can say that, but we do. And we had a ball. We just had a ball. Just all being on the same schedule. You know, Jack and Lucy and I are always off together in the summer because I'm a school teacher. But to have him and time with him, it was just an extravagant blessing. And we just enjoyed one another's company immensely. And so, you know, I think about this a lot. You know, we hear the term preacher's kids. And my children have no idea that there's a negative connotation to that at all. They don't know that that's really a thing. Because you have loved us so well. You are so good at the love part of church. Both my children were saved here, baptized here. All they know of Arapaho Road is love. That's all they know. I don't think there are very many pastors' families in the world that can say that, but I can. That's all they know from you. And this was the cherry on top of that. And the other part of it for me was him. You know, when we came here, the search committee asked me what my role was. And I said, I'm very clear on who I am and what my role is. And my mission is my family. That's my ministry. I take care of them. I take care of him. And I try to keep everything peaceful and calm waters in between so that he can lead you well. And that hasn't changed. I need you to know that he's been pretty torched internally for a long time. And I've been working really hard to try to keep him on track in his soul and love him well through all of that. I got my husband back after a couple of years. I had almost forgotten who he really is. It had been so long. He's quick to laugh, easy to smile, has joy all the time. We have always enjoyed one another's company. That has never changed. But he's gotten his joy back. When he says the joy of his salvation, he's not lying. It's not just a saying. It's the truth. And I watched it. A friend of ours who has been in our life for a long time got to spend some time with Dave, somebody he really admires. And then I got to spend some time, we all got to spend some time together as couples. And when I saw him, he just gave me this giant bear hug. And he's walked with Dave forever. And he gave me this giant bear hug and he just whispered in my ear and it just took my breath away because he said, we got our boy back. And I said, I'm so glad you can tell, because I can tell. And it has been the extravagant blessing. And that's from you. That's from you loving us so well. So for me, we are so happy to be here this morning. We've missed you. We've visited a lot of churches, and by the end of it, we thought we're ready to go home. We're ready to come and be with you. But that's what it's been for me.
Yeah. So one of my mentors texted me the other day, knowing that we were on our last week and that we would be here. And he just said, what are you taking away from this time? And I texted him back this. I said, I was crispier and more tired than I knew. It took me until July before I started to feel rested again, just so you know. I wrote, he's restored the joy of my salvation. I want to talk about that in a few weeks out of Psalm 51, about verse 12, 13, 14. I wrote, I thought I was waiting on the Lord, but he was waiting on me. That comes out of Isaiah chapter 30. And I'll unpack that a little bit more 2 weeks from today. I said, my heart for the nations got stirred again in a fresh way as I watched the World Cup. Every match. When you have 120 days, you can do that and still have plenty of time for your family. But it's incredible, as I sat there and I watched the World Cup, so many of the teams that were playing, I'm like, gosh, Uruguay, that makes me think of the Clarks. I wonder how the Clarks are doing today. Of course, England, and I'm thinking about a million of my friends over there. Germany, wondering what Scott and Rachel and Joseph and Pop, in my heart was stirred in a fresh way for the nations. I wrote, the unhurried pace of spiritual disciplines tastes good again. Sometimes if you have an opportunity to alter your pace in doing what you know you should be doing, your emotions catch up. So if it's hard right now in your marriage, or it's hard right now in your family, and you know what you should be doing, but you're not feeling it, keep doing what God tells you to do. And eventually your emotions catch up. And something that might not taste real savory in time begins to taste good again. I wrote, Allison and I are crazy about each other. And we are. And I wrote, I love being Jack and Lucy's dad. And I do. And the last thing I wrote as a takeaway, I don't have any regrets from the time that I was away and the way we invested our time. We'll talk a little bit more about that this afternoon at 2:30. I hope that you can come. I understand if you can't, we'll have a hard stop at 4. So if you're wondering, how long is this going to go? Hour and a half. Max, if you have questions, I'd love for us to be able to respond to some of your questions, and we'll talk a bit more about what unfolded. But two passages in particular, and I just want to read a verse from each. And the first one from Jeremiah, and I'm going to invest some time walking through Jeremiah with you next week. But Jeremiah 6:16 was very foundational for me during this clergy renewal. And Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. A lot of what we do on Wednesday nights in the class that I'll be leading will be coming out of an anchor point here. And so if you've been a little stale in your walk with the Lord, or you're not really sure how to do that, or I'm not going to teach per se, I'm going to guide and let the Word and the Spirit say what needs to be said to you. I'm going to create the environment and help you see what that ancient path for me has looked like and what it may look like for you. So if you're not sure about Wednesday nights, I invite you to come. We're going to spend the whole semester and the whole next semester slowly walking through Psalm 119. And then I mentioned Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 15 says this, for thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. And in verse 18, listen to this. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. And therefore, he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. And I'll just tell you, I have been waiting on the Lord for a while. And a guy named Graham Cook said something about waiting on the Lord that resonated with me. He said, some of you aren't, you think you're waiting on the Lord. You're not waiting on the Lord. You're waiting him out. With a closed off heart, a closed off mind, and just going, if I wait long enough, this will change. And I thought, Bobby, I've been waiting on you, Lord. But I missed the first part of that verse. The Lord waits to be gracious to you. He's been waiting on me. And I just wasn't in a place where my soul could receive what he had for me. Then I'll unpack that a bit more in a couple of weeks. There's so much. If you bump into me, you'll get wet with God goodness. I'm so full, so full, and I'm so thankful. I hope to see you back at 2:30. If I don't see you, we'll connect in the coming days, weeks, and months, Lord willing. But I want to invite you to do what we do around here, and we stand. And I want to pray this morning for those teachers and students and administrators and counselors and coaches as you're getting ready to go back to school. Some of you started back this week. Some of you, tomorrow's the first day. I know I'm married to the greatest teacher in the world, so I definitely want to be praying for her. But if you're going to school tomorrow in one of those capacities, would you just raise your hand? Yeah. If you're a parent that's glad they're gone, would you raise that other hand? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for a new year, a new season to start fresh. Lord, the word you gave me when I asked for a word this year that I could kind of walk with and walk from was the word renew. And Lord, you've renewed me deeply. And Lord, it's an opportunity for a new year. Some have started back, teachers and coaches and kids and parents and PTA and volunteers and all the administrators. And Lord, we are grateful for each one. We pray it would be a great year, that you'd lead, that you'd provide, protect. Lord, put the good influences around our kids and keep them in a place that's safe. And Lord, help them to know you and to walk with you and to learn and to grow and develop and have a great year. Lord, take the good, the bad, and the ugly and use it to make us who you want us to be. And I pray, Lord, that it would be a successful, a fruitful, and a blessed year when we get to the end of this school year. We thank you that wherever we go, whoever's sitting next to us, whatever class we're taking, you are with us. You will never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And so I pray, God, that you would bless, lead, and help us to follow well. We love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in church today and to be your people. Help us to walk with you each step of the way. In your name we pray. And everybody said,
thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.